Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 8, Manifestation of Brahma from Vishnu, Text Number 7. Proktaṃ hilai tad bhagavatthamena Nivritti Dharma Viratayatena Sanat Kumaraya Sachaha Prishta Sankhyaya Nayanga Dhrita Vithaya. Lord Sankarshan thus spoke the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam to the great sage Sanat Kumar, who had already taken the vow of renunciation. Sanat Kumar also, in his turn, when inquired of by Sankhyayana Muni, explained Srimad Bhagavatam as he heard it from Sankarshan. Purport. This is the way of the parampara system. Although Sanat Kumar, the well-known great saintly Kumar, was in the perfect stage of life, still he heard the message of Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Sankarshan. Similarly, when he was questioned by Sankhyayana Rishi, he spoke to him the same message he had heard from Lord Sankarshan. In other words, unless one hears from the proper authority, one cannot become a preacher. In devotional service, therefore, two items out of the nine, namely hearing and chanting, are most important. Without hearing nicely, one cannot preach the message of Vedic knowledge. Om Gyane Trimadandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam originally derives from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like everything. An intelligent person is inquisitive. Where does everything come from? That is more important than trying to understand why is there anything. That things exist, you all accept. Now, your method of inquiry should be to understand where everything comes from. If you can understand where everything comes from, then you can understand why things exist. Because along with the energy that has emanated from Krishna are also the instructions how to deal with the energy. People, however, don't know the proper method of being intelligent. They look around, they see things, they see themselves, and they think, well, what is the purpose of all this? It must be for our own enjoyment, according to our own plans. But if you first look around and see things, see energies, see yourself, and you think, where does it all come from? Then you have a chance to understand why things are here, why you are here. From the ultimate source, not only comes energy, but also the instructions for coping with the energy. Just like with any household appliance, there always comes an instruction book. Why is it we think that this universe came with no instruction book? Why is it that we think we must speculate and try to understand with our tiny brains what to do with all the energy. If you simply understand that everything emanates from Krishna, you'll have no difficulty hearing from Krishna about how to use his energy. And his energy includes you yourself. That's why in the first sloka of Bhagavatam it is stated, Janmadiyasyataha. This is echoing the Vedanta Sutra. Bhagavatam is the authorized commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Janmadiyasyataha. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. Everything means also instructions. Now, if you're an intelligent person, you'll try to find what are the best instructions for living. The best instructions from living come from the source of life himself. We are consciousness. More specifically, we are spirit soul. When we say we are consciousness, that's to help you understand your spirit soul, because consciousness is the symptom of the spirit soul. We are consciousness, but we are subordinate to the supreme consciousness. Bhakti yoga, as presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, is all about the relationship between the minute consciousness and the supreme consciousness. In that relationship are all the instructions for how to live in this world in a productive way. What is a productive way for living in this world? Becoming free from material entanglement. That is the goal. Not to become more entangled. A real civilization, Varnashrama civilization, that you read about in Srimad Bhagavatam, is for the purpose of human beings living without becoming implicated in sinful activity, so that gradually their attachment for Krishna may develop. That's the purpose of Varnashrama society. Now you have societies in which it's impossible to live and avoid sinful activity. The so-called civilizations are constructed in such a way that you commit sinful activity at every step, and people think that's progress. The intelligent person understands there are reactions. Now, what to do? How to avoid future sinful reactions? And how to atone for past sinful activity? This is how an intelligent person thinks. Obviously, the source of all energies, the Supreme Absolute Truth, has a vested interest in his parts and parcels becoming free from sinful activity. It is possible. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is a major way for purifying the consciousness and becoming free from sinful reaction. Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion describes that there are five limbs which arouse ecstatic love of Krishna in an amazing way. Associating with devotees is one. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, two. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, three. Worshipping the deity, four. And residing in the holy place, the Mathura, is fine. Rupa Goswami says even one of these things can produce affects far beyond your understanding. Just one of these five. We're not just engaged in some kind of religious ritual when we gather to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. The potency of the process is explained in the first canto, chapter 2, text 18, text 17. Shrinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Hyabhadrani Vidunoti Suhit Satam. There is the super soul in your heart. The supreme consciousness has an expansion in everyone's heart. And that Paramatma becomes pleased when he sees that you are hearing about the glories of the Supreme Lord. And he reciprocates. How does he reciprocate in your heart? By cleansing the desire for material enjoyment. Cleansing all the inauspicious things in your heart. When will we understand that the problems in life, whether individually or collectively, are caused by the dirty things in the heart? The dirty things in the heart all are contained under the banner of trying to enjoy the material world. Thinking material enjoyment will help you. This is the basic tumor of material existence. And that tumor spreads very aggressively. Sometimes, just like a cancer tumor, the tumor can appear to disappear or stop growing, but then it shoots back again very suddenly. Sometimes it appears it's in remission, and then after some time it again manifests. Just like cancer patients, sometimes they think they're healthy, they beat the disease, and then a few years later the tumor starts growing again. This is how tricky and unwieldy the disease of material existence is. We should know what we're doing battle with. This dirty thing in the heart that compels us to enjoy the material world. If you're smart, you'll constantly analyze and see, where is the enjoyment? And what does it get you? Now, you may sincerely desire to become free from these dirty things, but you think, how is it possible? It's all around, it's everywhere, it's in my past, traces are still in my mind, what am I going to do? Everywhere I walk in the streets, it's flung in my face. My family, material relatives, sing the glories of material enjoyment. My friends, all of society. Who am I to think I can go against the grain? I'm just little old me. How can I resist these things? And for how long, I wonder, can I do it? It is true. The material energy is impossible to overcome. Daiviesha gunamai mama maya dratraya mam eva ye pravajyante mayam etam tadantite. Krishna says this material energy of mine is impossible to deal with. But if you surrender to me, Krishna says, you can cross over very easily. Therefore, our focus is on how to surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, trying to battle the material energy without surrender to Krishna, you'll never win. Impossible. You'll never conquer the dirty things in the heart separate from surrender to Krishna. But if you seriously take to Krishna consciousness, and one of the processes of serious Krishna consciousness is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of devotees, then almost mystically, or you could say mystically, the dirty things in your heart begin to subside. And once again, what is the main category of dirty things in the heart? All the dirty things fit under the title of trying to enjoy the material world. This is the problem. It is not impossible to get over this disease. One has to be very determined. I always like to ask devotees, have you ever done something in your life which required a lot of determination? Sometimes these days, you know, the answer is no. But often, some devotees have worked very hard in their studies or worked very hard at a job. They understand what it's like to do something even when you don't feel like doing it. That's the problem with the dull-bludger culture, youth culture today. The youth grow up with no experience of having to do something even when they don't feel like it. And therefore, not knowing any discipline, they come to Krishna consciousness and have some difficulty maintaining a few simple austerities because they have no concept of doing anything when they don't feel. They have no concept of doing something even when you don't feel like it. When the super soul in the heart sees that you are hearing the glories of the Lord, he reciprocates. Bhakti is not a passive process. You're believing in God. Congratulations, you're all believing in God. Very nice. Is that the sum and substance of it all? No. We're not speaking about believing in God. We're speaking about hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavatam doesn't say, believe in God and the dirty things in the heart will disappear. It doesn't say that. Hearing what the Supreme Consciousness does, hearing about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Consciousness, that is what purifies the heart. Whether you believe in Krishna or not, Krishna is doing things. Krishna has his activities, he has his leelas, whether you believe or not. If you simply hear about what Krishna does, if you simply hear about how Krishna does things, then the dirty things in your heart become cleansed. Anything directly related to Krishna has a purifying effect. We're not interested in battlefields, although now the general public there, hearing about the battlefields of Iraq. Wondering how many oil wells will Saddam Hussein set on fire, and how many oil fields and gas producing areas will the U.S. commandos capture for their own use. So everyone's concerned with that battlefield. That concern's not going to purify them. It's just a manifestation. Their interest is just a manifestation of the dirty things in the heart. Okay, why don't they get this war over with quickly so the enjoyment of the world will be safe? How much is it going to affect oil prices? Of course, in New Zealand, everyone feels very detached and separated from these remote events. It's the nuclear-free country, and no one wants war. And just imagine what would happen if New Zealand was attacked. Then, help, help, send the nuclear weapons. People only care for their own sense gratification. Saving their own skin. Yesterday we talked about pleasing your own skin. Today we're speaking about saving your own skin. That's the sum and substance of life these days. The skin should be rubbed and the skin should be saved. This is the ultimate goal of life. So people are concerned about the battlefield of Iraq. Will our skins be involved? We are concerned about the battlefield of Kurukshetra because it's directly in relation to Krishna, because Krishna was there. You can visit the battlefield of Kurukshetra and you can be purified. Unlike any mundane battlefield. When you hear about the battlefield of Kurukshetra, even without going there, you become purified because it's directly in relationship to Krishna. This is the real meaning of the Supreme Lord being omnipotent. When you say God is all powerful, what you should mean is that He's so potent that everything in relation to Him has a potent effect. That means you can associate with the Supreme Lord through His words. And get the same effect as Arjuna got on the battlefield of Kurukshetra by having Krishna on his chariot. This is the real understanding of the Supreme Lord being omnipotent. The words about Krishna and the words described, the words spoken by Krishna are non-different from Krishna. Krishna's name is non-different from him. Maybe some of you are starting to wonder because of your sincere efforts to chant the holy name every morning. You're starting to wonder, how is it my mind can wander so such when I'm chanting the holy name of the Lord and the Lord is completely present as His holy name? Hopefully some of you are starting to wonder like that. Don't become depressed that you're wondering like that. It's a sign of that your health is returning. Otherwise, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care about your chanting. Either you wouldn't do it, or if you did chant, you would just, okay, just get this chanting out of the way. But the fact that you are concerned, what about the quality of my chanting? How can this be that I'm chanting the holy name, which brings the direct association of the Lord? Krishna is dancing on my tongue. And yet, I'm so inconsiderate and so callous and insensitive while chanting. How can this be? Don't be depressed by that kind of feeling. It's a sign of spiritual advancement. It shows you care. And Krishna's watching. Just see how much this devotee wants to chant my holy name with attention. And Krishna, from within the heart, minimizes the dirty things. Even a partial minimization or a partial cleansing of the dirty things in the heart causes the grip of the material energy to slacken. This you all can easily notice. That even an initial investment in Krishna consciousness causes the grip of the material energy to slacken. Once that's happened, the next step, which many of you are ready for, is to do a further cleansing and get rid of the, get underneath all the remaining inauspicious things in the heart. It's fun to be aggressive about cleaning in Krishna consciousness. Cleaning your heart. Okay, what's left at the bottom of the pit there? What monsters lie at the mud bottom? We have that aggressive attitude about cleaning because we want to please Krishna. It is a fact that even preliminary attempts to be Krishna conscious cause the material energy to back off. But we want a permanent victory. Therefore, we get aggressive about going after the monsters lurking in the dark lagoon. We want Krishna to use us. Therefore, we're eager to cope with anything that's swimming below the surface. We may think, well, devotees like Arjuna, they were directly with Krishna. Here, the Lord Sankarsan is speaking to Sanat Kumar. We're not fortunate to directly have the Lord's presence. That's not true. Krishna's words and the authorized words about Krishna are not different from Krishna. That, as we said, is the full meaning of being omnipotent. You can associate with Krishna through sound, through words. You know how impersonalists and New Agers always like to say, oh, God cannot be described. The absolute truth cannot be put into words. Why not? You're limiting the Supreme. How can the Supreme be omnipotent if he cannot appear anywhere and everywhere according to his desire? No, not words. How can he say that? If the Supreme Absolute Truth could be described in words, that would be limiting the Supreme Absolute Truth, because words are limited. Why do all words have to be limited? Krishna's use of words suffer no limitation. Just because your words are limited doesn't mean Krishna's words are limited. But with our tiny brains, we like to think we know everything. We know how everything functions, and so words mean limitation. Anyone can understand. So the words you know mean limitation. But Krishna, being the infinite, unlimited, supreme, absolute truth, can appear fully, even in words. You can't say to Krishna, no, no, words are limited, don't come. Similarly, people say, why should God come to this world? It's a limited, temporary place. God can't come here. omnipotent, when you say the Supreme Absolute Truth is omnipotent, you mean the Supreme Lord can do whatever he likes, so much so that he can be fully present in things directly in relation to him. Name, form, qualities, activities. In Bhagavatam class, you're associating with the miracle of the Lord appearing as Bhagavatam. Especially when both the speaker and the audience are desirous of making spiritual advancement, then Krishna is very eager to appear. How is it that you can know Krishna's appearing whenever Bhagavatam is discussed? Because you can feel that the dirty things in your heart are becoming cleansed. You can feel the attraction for rendering service to Krishna start to increase. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita admits it's hard to understand the mystery of the five limbs of ecstatic love of Krishna. Hearing Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, so on and so forth. It's so deep that it's a bit mysterious, but you see the effects of that mystery. Therefore, the next verse in the second chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam says, Nasta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. By regularly attending Bhagavatam class, the inauspicious things in the heart become destroyed almost completely. Why almost completely? The point is that just by beginning the process, the dirty things in the heart, just by beginning the process, such progress is made that you can say the dirty things in the heart are almost destroyed completely. And you've made just an initial investment. The initial investment brings such an impact that the dirty things in your heart are almost completely destroyed. Now you want to completely destroy them, you have to do further work. And in the association of devotees, it's very easy to see our faults and what we have to work on. You all can imagine what your life would be like on your own. It's not easy to practice Krishna consciousness on your own because you'll be subject to your own mind always telling you, you're all right. Everything is fine. But in the association of devotees, you get to see a mirror of yourself. You get to see your bad qualities. You get to see the dirty things. You'll find that each devotee is always thinking, oh, the other doesn't have this problem. It's only I who have this problem. The other devotees are humble. It's only I who have this false ego problem. The other devotees are very peaceful. It's only I who am disturbed by the arrows of Cupid. That is humble vision. In the association of devotees, something mystical happens. You can see your own faults and you can see opportunities for serving Krishna. If you're serious about serving Krishna, you want to be at a place where service is happening. Just like if you're a typical urban resident in Kali Yuga, when Friday night, Saturday night comes, you want to be in a place where there are many cafes, many clubs. You want to be on Courtney Place at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's a place to be. Well, devotees want to be in a place where there's service opportunities and where there are other devotees so that by rubbing shoulders with them, you get to see yourself better and you get to see what you have to do to advance more. In this way, Maya is conquered. So remember, on the one hand, it is impossible to conquer over Maya. That's from the material point of view. But on the other hand, if you take up Krishna's means for conquering Maya, which is Krishna's energy, you can do it. Mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etam chalantite. It's possible to cross over. You have to go Krishna's way. It's Krishna's Maya. She's the servant of Krishna. Even Maya Devi herself likes to chant the holy names of the Lord. Therefore she came to tempt Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya, they are responsible for the descent of Lord Chaitanya. Advaitacharya would worship Tulsi Devi and with loud cries call out for Lord Chaitanya to appear. And Haridas Thakur would chant in a cave provided by Advaitacharya. He would chant in front of Tulsi Devi and in that way appeal to the Lord to descend. So those two, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, those two brought about the descent of Lord Chaitanya, Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur. Once Haridas Thakur was chanting in his cave, and then all of a sudden in the courtyard near the cave, a beautiful yellow glow appeared. What was this beautiful yellow glow? Was it the sun appearing at night? No, it was the effulgence of Maya Devi herself appearing. So a beautiful, soft, yellow glow appeared everywhere. It was the middle of the night. And then the air began to fill with the most wonderful aroma. And then there were amazing sounds of tinkling jewelry. This is the entrance of Maya Devi. All the senses are captivated. The sight of this yellow glow, the smell of the fragrance, the hearing the sounds of the tinkling jewelry. And then Maya Devi appeared at the door of his cave. Oh, great saint! Oh, most merciful! Please show mercy upon me by granting me your association. You're so merciful, you're so compassionate, I'm sure you'll grant my desire. In this way, Maya Devi tempted him. You can have me. Be merciful upon me, I'm begging you. Then after she said that, she began to demonstrate feminine postures that would bewilder the mind of even Lord Brahma. This would make a good play, but I don't think we want to see the postures. But Haridas Thakur, just like he did with the prostitute, kept chanting Hare Krishna. Yes, yes, we'll enjoy when I finish my japa. For 3 days this went on, just like with the prostitute. Each day the beautiful woman came back. Finally, after the third day, she said, you're cheating me. You promised to enjoy with me. All you're doing is chanting. hurt us, of course. I'm sorry, I have to finish my rounds. Sorry. Then she revealed, actually, I am Maya Devi. I came here to tempt you. But actually, what I really want from you is ecstatic love of Krishna by chanting the holy name of Krishna. I've already gotten the chanting of Hare Ram from Lord Shiva, but I want to chant Hare Krishna, because chanting Krishna's name brings ecstatic love of Krishna. In this way, she begged Haridas Thakur, please, connect me to the chanting of Hare Krishna. So, Haridas Thakur is showing that the chanting of Hare Krishna is so powerful that the chanting can conquer Maya herself, and even Maya Devi herself will be attracted to want to chant Hare Krishna. What could be more alluring, what could be more enticing than Maya Devi herself? All the allurements of the world that you see are just little glimmers of the total allurement present in Maya Devi herself. By appearing before Haridas Thakur, Maya Devi was expressing her desire to be a part of Chaitanya Leela and float in the ocean of love of God. Not only Maya Devi was attracted to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and wanted to participate, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they all came, got in the guise of human beings to chant and dance with Lord Chaitanya. Also the four Kumaras, it's like you're hearing about the four Kumaras speaking to Sankarshan at the bottom of the universe. They came, disguised as human beings, to Chaitanya's pastimes. Prahlad Maharaj, Narada Muni, they were all there, chanting and dancing, taking shelter of the holy name. So this is our heritage. This is our expressway to perfection. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Don't think that you're attending Bhagavatam class or reading Bhagavatam on your own just for informational purposes. I think some of you may think like that. It's true, but there's much more than that. Not only are you getting information, but you're also getting association directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, so to speak, your head is filling up and your heart is filling up. As always, we ask that all of you spend some serious time every day reading Prabhupada's books. We ask for 2 hours. That's part of being busy. Part of the busyness is that you're busy hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In this way, we'll be sure to produce some real brahmanas. Brahmana means one who has knowledge and teaches knowledge. the six duties of a brahmana. Patan, patan, yajan, yajan, dana, pratigraha. Studying the Vedic knowledge and teaching the Vedic knowledge. Worshipping the deity, teaching others to worship the deity. Giving charity and receiving charity. So here, because it's a preaching center, not like a mandir or a temple, our deities are the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, it's most important. These are the most important for worship. There are two margas or paths, Bhagavat Marg and Pancharachiki Marg. Bhakti runs on these two rails like a train. But the Bhagavat Marg is more important. Bhagavat Marg means Bhagavatam, Sankirtan. Pancharachiki Marg means temple worship. So both things go side by side, but of the two, the Bhagavat Marg is more important. Bhagavat Marg is the preaching marg, the preaching path. So we have to always keep our reading of Prabhupada's books maximized, because we're worshipping Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita here. We're worshipping the holy name. These are the deities. We try to teach you all to base your life upon the holy name and Prabhupada's books. And that way you can grow up with strength in Krishna consciousness. So I hope you all are doing that. Remember, part of being busy is to study the Shastra. That's part of the busyness. Not that, oh, I'm so busy, therefore I can't. No, part of being busy is to study the Shastra. And that studying is not simply for informational content. That studying is for association with Krishna through his words or words describing Krishna. Then you become purified. You understand why you're doing what you're doing. Any questions? Sometimes what?
We're hearing attentively understanding what we're reading. And other times we're just reading out your words and it's not really functioning.
Try. Krishna's pleased by the effort. Krishna's not callous and hard-hearted. Make an effort and Krishna's impressed. You're dealing with a person. The super soul in the heart is noting that you're trying. Some days are better than other days. The process will work. You will experience increasing attachment for the message of the Supreme Lord. You'll notice that over time. If you refrain from sinful activity, your life will be simply an increase in attachment for the Supreme Lord and his words and name. If you indulge in sinful activity while practicing Krishna consciousness, it's like, as the example often given says, starting a fire and pouring water on it. It's very hard to light wood that's wet. It can be done, but it's difficult and a very frustrating process. And the more you pour water on the wood after lighting it, the more difficult it gets to ignite the fire. You will see over time, the process does work. If you're smart, you'll have a bit of an aggressive attitude about the dirty things in the heart. Don't be content that, okay, now I've been in Krishna consciousness for a few years, I can take it easy, you know, in terms of having a militant attitude about myself. Because the dirty things have almost completely been destroyed, so there's no need to worry about anything more. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya led the devotees in cleaning the Gundicha temple, he did it twice. First getting rid of all the gross things, and then going back and doing a cleaning that cleanses all the fine particles of dust. To be successful in Krishna consciousness, you have to know how to make a hobby out of purifying yourself. After a while, you like it. It becomes fun after a while. At first, it may seem a bit painful, pulling out all the monsters from their hiding places. But after a while, it gets to be fun. Reaching deep into the dark lagoon and pulling out all these slimy creatures. Have an attitude of self-analysis and reflection. That's another thing you'll see, you'll do by having proper reading time every day. You'll actually think about yourself in Krishna consciousness. So yes, sometimes your head is swimming. Sometimes you're in a bit of anxiety. Someone has minimized you. Some other devotee has rubbed you the wrong way. Or your devotional plans are being impeded. Sometimes it'll be like that. Especially when you're in a leadership position. There are anxieties that you're taking on for Krishna. Krishna knows that. He understands you're voluntarily taking on responsibility for his pleasure. Krishna's not hard-hearted. You try your best. Just get it in your head that year after year you're going to try and be peaceful. Sometimes though, storms will blow and the winds will rage, but you'll just go on. Accept that and be peaceful. Sometimes there's wars going on in Iraq. Sometimes there's wars going on in your own body. But devotional service marches on. It's all right. Nothing wrong with it. You don't have to persecute yourself if you do that. But gradually you'll understand, even by reading it just for informational content, that the information, what is it telling you? You're directly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what the information is telling you, right? Gradually you'll accept that. Gradually you'll notice what an effect on your consciousness is there when you simply open one of Prabhupada's books and start to read. But before you open it, you know, it always seems, no, I got so many things to do, and my head is fried out, and I got, you know, this thing, that thing, no, I don't want to read, you know, I'm just not in the right frame of mind to read. Then what happens when you finally just pick up a book and open it? Wow, this is kind of nice. Right? Haven't you all experienced that? It's like, it's same like going out on Sankirtan, right? And until everything's not working out today. Oh, you know, the day isn't happening perfectly. How can I go out? And there's this and there's that. And, you know, there. Then when you finally just go out, whoa. So, reading Prabhupada's books is like that. So once again, I want to remind you of our desire that you all read at least 2 hours a day. Sometimes, you know, devotees from other places, they may question, you're staying at a preaching center, but you have no deities. How do you make advancement? Bhagavatam is the deity, so it's important that you read. It is possible to worship Srimad Bhagavatam. It is possible to worship the holy name. Yes.
Maharaj, now you want to develop renewable qualities. Sometimes we hear that Vaishnava is being higher than Brahma. So, then why are so much interest based on Guru?
Well, you've seen so many Vaishnavas? Vaishnava is a rare position. I see many practicing Vaishnavas, or I see many candidates for Vaishnavas. I don't see many Vaishnavas. Vaishnava is a very high position. It means one is exclusively dedicated to Vishnu. So you can either use the liberal understanding of the word or use the strict understanding. You can say, yes, they're all Vaishnavas, with the understanding that some are trying to be, some are candidates, they're on the road to being. Or you can say Vaishnava means one who's attained the proper stature of being exclusively dependent on Lord Vishnu. Brahminical qualities mean at least you're situated in the mode of goodness. No harm in that, is it? So you're, what were you saying, I've heard? You want to, what is it? You're saying you wanted some... What was the first thing you said?
Oh, I said you want to develop.
You want to. Well, then you should learn to take guidance. Sudra mentality means, I don't have to ask anybody. I feel like doing something, I'm doing it. Looks good to me, I'll do it. And 5 years later you ask, what do you think? Was it a good idea? That's Sudra. Perfect example of that story Prabhupada would tell. There was a fool sitting on the branch of a tree, and while he was sitting, he was sawing the limb. Yeah. And so someone was walking under the tree and said, hey, you know, you're cutting the very limb that you're sitting on. We have to listen to you. Who do you think you are? I know what I'm doing. Let's get out of here. You're trying to tell me what to do. And then, of course, the fool kept sawing and fell on the ground. Yeah. And then the other person, the passerby, was still there. And he said to the passerby, wow, you must have mystic power. How did you know this would happen? That's Sudra life. Well,
my senses are telling me this is a good thing. I think it'll be the way I go.
Brahminical life also means to be clean. The Prabhupada said that when people come to our places, they should see that they're revolutionary clean. Do you do that here at the Gaur Yoga Center? Everything is revolutionary clean? And where you live should be revolutionary clean? That's part of being a Brahmin. Brahmins always take advice and give advice. Just don't suddenly take off and do something dumb and, well, you know, I just felt like it, you know, it just seemed to be a good thing, you know. You know, the situation, you know? The situation? So you study Krishna's explanation of brahminical qualities in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Shamo damas tapas shocham shanti arjam avacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Truthfulness. Yeah. Control the mind, control the senses. Austerity. Cleanliness. Honesty. Simplicity. Like that. Both theoretical wisdom and realized knowledge. Those are the qualities by which the brahmanas work. Anything? Yes?
When you're talking about Krishna and Krishna through our chanting and our reading, I find it a little bit scary that, oh, Krishna's really here. Wow. So there has to be over that triumph. The previous Supreme Personality of
This morning, when I got up, it was early, so I was looking out the window and on Lead Street, and I saw this young lady walking with her hand, you know, with a, what do you call it, a purse? Not a purse, with a shoulder bag. And I was wondering, I mean, she wasn't walking like she was a, you know, a night worker or anything, you know. But, you know, just, I don't know, she was walking like someone going to a job or something. You know, she wasn't walking like she was a prostitute or something, but just, you know, like a ordinary young lady, you know, going to work somewhere. I was wondering, how come she's not afraid? Yeah, she's walking, you know, 4:30 in the morning, she's, you know, just walking in a dark street, you know, carrying her shoulder bag. She obviously has, you know, must have something valuable in there. Or maybe everybody just carries their F-post cards these days. But in any case, just, you know, just walking down the street and I was thinking, how come she's not afraid? Of course, we know it's New Zealand and everything's perfectly safe. You want to be afraid of Maya. Krishna's the well-wisher living in your heart. So you have to learn what to be afraid of. Now, there should be an attitude of awe and reverence. But why should we be afraid? Better to be afraid of the material energy. Don't be afraid of Krishna. But have an awe and reverential attitude. So before reading the Bhagavatam, you can offer your obeisances to the Bhagavatam. Then you can read, all right? Don't let the people at work, they'll see you're bowing down to a book. At home you can do. You read at work also? Yeah, then when no one's looking, you can just take the Bhagavatam and hold it on your head. Bhagavatam should always be elevated. You don't even put the Bhagavatam on a cushion that someone's sitting on. It's always elevated. Anything else? Yes.
When I do my chanting, my mind sometimes wanders.
Sometimes?
And then it generally is a sound struggle, as it progresses, it does. Then I get this real guilty feeling, I feel really bad, and I find it hard to get back into the swing of the potency.
Why? Because you feel bad?
Yeah.
Well, if you actually feel bad, then you should try to concentrate again.
Yeah.
It's good you feel guilty. Just see. If you didn't care, you wouldn't feel guilty. You say, the heck with it. Right? You've probably been in situations in which you did something and maybe you were in some relationship and you did something and you just said, I don't care. I don't care if she finds out. You ever done something like that? Yeah, I don't care if she finds out. I want to have a good time. It's my life. She's probably getting hers, I'll get mine. I just didn't care. But you've probably also been in circumstances in which you did something and you felt guilty. Oh, I don't want this to be known. I mean, I could hurt somebody.
I suppose what I'm trying to say is the guilt back or the good.
What am I saying? You feel guilty because you care. That's a major achievement, that you care for chanting the holy name. If you didn't care, you wouldn't feel guilty. But now just see, you're getting that anxiety. I want you to chant nicely for Krishna. That's a great improvement. You don't want to let Krishna down. So follow the guilt to its natural conclusion and refix your attention on the holy name. Even in the stage of perfect chanting, you're still going to feel guilt. Lord Chaitanya says about his own chanting, they're diving Eja Samahajani Naniraga. I'm so unfortunate. I have no attraction, no raga for the holy name. You'll never feel that you've captured Krishna completely. There'll always be more and more and more. So get used to it. This is your lifetime career, chanting the holy name. Through all the phases of your life, you'll be doing this. Whether married or unmarried, or with a family or not, You'll always be chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Like so many persons here, they'll be married in the future, especially the ladies. So I told Krishnaloka that her goal is that when they're in their future home situation, and naturally there's some entanglement, they can always look back on these days and those were the best days of my life. As you're going through the various phases and passages of life, you can always look back on the days when all you had to worry about was your service to Krishna and then crashing out on somewhere at night, sleeping, getting up and chanting Hare Krishna. Do you remember those days? Oh. Actually, now I realize it was so sweet back then. That kind of appreciation will carry you through all the complexities of life. Bodies have phases that they go through, and for most persons, that's just the way it is. But if you always can keep your vision on Krishna, and you've had an experience of living a simple life of devotional service, those memories will stay with you as you pass through all the various stages of life. Lady in Australia, who for a short time she was running the loft in Melbourne. Now she's married and has a child, and she and her husband are doing some business. But she says, when I think back on those days, those were the best days of my life. So that's something. That's a great achievement. In other words, she's saying, this phase I'm in now, you know, I got to go through because that's the way the body is. But still, when I think of those simple days of just preaching and devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna with no other worries, oh, those are the best days. Similarly, can meet householder men. Absorbed in trying to support their families. And, yeah, I remember those simple brahmachari days. At the same time, while one is remembering like that, you push on with your duties. Not that, you know, everything's complete loss, but naturally you just remember. It's a natural tendency to remember times when life was simple. And you appreciate them once you start taking on complexity. It's always interesting hearing from devotees when they marry and they have their first kid. They all like with big eyes and say, I mean, my whole life has just been turned upside down. I just never knew it was going to be like this. I mean, this little creature has just totally dominated the whole house. So regardless of how you're going to progress in your life and what phases you're going to pass through or not, get a solid foundation in this kind of lifestyle and it'll do you immeasurable good. Someone was saying to me yesterday or the day before, well, you can always see, you can easily see that so many marriages in Krishna consciousness, they don't work completely, and that's true. Some work and some don't. It's Kali Yuga, and in today's degraded society, everything is upside down, and the people who are coming to Krishna consciousness are coming from the degraded society, so they bring those kind of syndromes and psychologies of family instability. No one understands anything about duty and commitment in relationships. But in any case, however things turn out, if you have this solid foundation in hearing and chanting about Krishna, you won't be blown off course. A basic marriage problem is that Westerners have no training these days on how to stay in a situation which doesn't gratify your senses. They just can't understand that. Yes, I wanted to be with her or him when it was clear that there was going to be gratification of my senses, but now that's not there, so anyone could understand. That's it. That's the end. That's Western culture. Right? Isn't that it? Yeah? But Grihastha life in Krishna consciousness is supposed to be something else. But the devotees, many of them, they drag into Grihastha life their conceptions, their prior conceptions. And then when the matter doesn't meet their expectations, meaning it doesn't meet their desires for sense gratification, then okay, forget it. There are always, of course, wonderful examples. So my point is, if we can prepare you for whatever Kali Yuga may throw at you, then that's the best way to deal with things. Married or not, successfully married or had some problems, if we can give you a solid immersion in Krishna consciousness so you can keep your footing in any situation, then I'll feel like we've made a good contribution to your life. All right. All glory, Srila Prabhupada.